Holy hell, hockey fans. It's been a wild ride on social media these last few days. Divided country, a lot of hate floating around in every direction. It's got me thinking about the way that sports can bring people together who wouldn't otherwise really hang out together or exist together. People who believe in different things and stand for different morals and pray to different gods. To me, the fact that sports can alleviate some of that tension and hate is magical. And it's probably something we could all use a little bit of right now. That's officially the most you're ever going to hear me talk about politics on this podcast, but in short, save your hate for the Red Wings in the wild. That's where it belongs.
Yeah, huge shout out to the AVS fam. Colorado hockey's coming in, man. Let me teach you how to dutchie. On the ice, the dutchie touch. Hashtag volley volley. The crazy saves this so gnarly. The Condor and Landy. Team Butte is sweeter than candy. Colorado hockey's coming in. Colorado hockey for the win. Tune into the podcast, we're live. Colorado hockey has arrived.
The Avs are not amazing. There, I said it. But I do still believe that we have a lot of amazing pieces that can be assembled into a much better team. Sometimes it just takes a few missing pieces of the puzzles to make it all come together. The Avs have done this in the past by acquiring players like Sandis Oslund, Claude Lemieux, Patrick Waugh, and even some depth players that made it all work, like Mike Keane. He was a toss-in in the Waugh deal, if you're not familiar with that one, and had a lot to do with us winning the cup, actually. I find it hard to believe that the Avs won't make a few moves before the trade deadline, big or small. You can already see them setting the table to make certain players more tradable, like John Mitchell. And while we're at it, in defense of John Mitchell, look, I get it. He is just good enough to make you want more from him and just consistent enough to disappoint you when he plays the way that he always plays. John Mitchell is one of the best third or fourth line guys around. He really is. True, he is getting a bit older, but he is still relevant, and as much as I like the guy, it's really smart of the Avs to be thinking trade right now. Any player that reaches 30 years old should be considered for trade value. Players can still bring a lot to the table after 30 years old, but let's face it, they're going downhill at that point, and if you can get something for them that's worth it, you gotta trade them, even if they're at that valuable stage, but going downhill. As much as we'd all like to think that each and every one of our older players who we like a lot are going to turn out to be a Jager and play late into their career, it's just incredibly rare. And even Jager has lost a step in his game too. So for John Mitchell, it makes perfect sense to risk him on waivers and make him just a bit more affordable, a bit more tradable. I believe his cap hit for any team that would try to trade for him right now is under $1 million, which is perfect. I'd expect to see John Mitchell go to a contender in need of a depth player with experience before the trade deadline. That's just what it is. But for all you John Mitchell bashers out there who are just disappointed in this guy's play left and right, I leave you with the wisdom of Toad and the Wet Sprocket and their song Good Intentions. If you don't expect too much from me, you won't be let down. That's John Mitchell. That's where you gotta be with him. So we're going to look back at a few of these success metrics that we talked about in a previous podcast and get a benchmark for our recent performance based on what we thought it would take to make the team, the players, the coaches, every single one of them successful. Let's start with the team. We'll keep this simple. We said that they should make the playoffs, and we thought that it would take at least 90 or more points to do that. It's sounding a lot like 90 plus points is going to be the case. I don't think they have to get to 100, but they have to have more than 90. Somewhere in there is at least going to be close. But the deal is you can't just come close at this point. That's not success if you come close, get cheated by the division we're in, or make excuses for not making the playoffs. I think this year we have to make the playoffs for the fans to be happy. Also, bonus points on that one for every series we win in the playoffs, but we're getting a little dreamy there. We also said that we think to have success, you have to have a winning record at home. The Avs are not achieving this one, and they're doing it in a pretty glorious way. They really aren't playing good hockey at home, and I have no idea why. Neither do the players. We also said that they should have no more than 30 shots against per game and no less than 30 shots for. This seemed like a really good metric at the time, but the matter of fact is that they can't put the puck in the net. They are, in fact, outshooting teams more often than not, still not getting the goals. We could spit out metrics all day long, but the fact of the matter is, more goals wins games, gets you a W, gets you into the playoffs. But what fun is it at that level anyways? Let's dig in on coaches a little bit. For a coach, it's important that you say what you mean what you say, and do what you promise. This is one of the first metrics for our coaches, Bednar in particular. He's done a pretty decent job with this, but I have to say, he plays some players in some positions that I don't think they've earned. I've seen other players try harder and have better impact, yet he's doing a lot of juggling still and keeping people in the lineup who maybe shouldn't be in the lineup. I suspect all of that is about to change. I think with some of the moves you're seeing with John Mitchell and other players, we're likely to see some guys come up from the AHL who probably won't ever go back down, which means some of the players who are in the NHL for the Avalanche are going to have to go somewhere else. Another metric we talked about was owning this, not to coach the past, to make sure that Bednar is coaching Bednar's team and Bednar's system. I think he's done a good job with this so far, but I think maybe he's hit a couple of speed bumps along the way, realizing that this isn't the AHL, this is the NHL, and some things are going to work differently here. Little side note here, one thing I'd like to see go away is the back pass to enter the zone on the power play. I think that every team's onto us, and I think we should at least shake it up by every now and then not doing a back pass, going with speed, chip it in if we have to, but beat that guy to the puck, or just use the skill that we have to get around those guys, get in the zone, and set up a play. Another metric that we had for the coaches was to win the loyalty of the fans by playing exciting hockey, particularly at home. So far, no. I don't think that they've reached this goal, and you know what? It's early yet. We'll see what happens. Lastly, we had talked about closing out games in the third period. Now, to close out a game in the third period, you first have to be ahead going into the third period, which Avalanche have not done. They have let goal after goal in the first period, often within the first couple minutes of the game, and that has killed them. That is their Achilles heel right now. And if they can't solve that, they're never going to be able to close out a game anyways. Metric on that one? Failed. So when we talk about the players, we're saying each and every player. We already talked about the team, we talked about the coaches, but this is the individual player and what each one of them must do. And we used a quote on this one from the Beatles that was, "Come together right now over me," which is absolutely true, whereas me is Landy. So what the player should be doing right now is believing in their captain and following his lead. And he started out pretty strong. He was doing pretty good, but I have to admit, everyone, including the captain, has let me down a little bit as games have worn on. But the metrics that we had for them still apply, which are no excuses hockey, no heroes hockey, play for the team, stay healthy, and no off-ice issues. So far, they're doing pretty good on most of these. I have seen a little bit of hero hockey as the games come down to the third period and somebody's trying to put the puck in the net. Everyone's frustrated, and they're willing to go end-to-end right now to see if they can't be the guy who puts that puck in the net. It's not so much they want to be the hero, they just want to put a point on the board. But regardless of frustration or anything else, when you try to go end-to-end by yourself, that's playing heroes hockey, and that's not going to get you there. Also, bonus points to the Avs right now for staying relatively healthy and having no off-ice issues. No lawsuits, nothing like that. So when we talk about core players, what we're really saying is the foundation of the team. These are the guys on which we build a team, that we build around, that we bring in other players for. Everyone else is much more tradable than these guys when it's going good. When it's not going good, I think that anything is possible. And I'm getting a little bit worried about the core that we have right now because they're not really living up to the metrics that you would expect. The core, if you need a reminder on this, is Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, Tyson Barrie, Eric Johnson, and Varley. So Varley is the most intriguing one because we know that we have a chance of losing him in the expansion draft. And as we play Varley and he doesn't play good, and then we play Pigs and he plays good, but he did lose his last game, so we should probably get rid of him, right? Just kidding. Anyways, Varley is probably the most likely on that list to go. But if a good trade offer for something we really need and somebody that we really think could shake things up around here in a good way came along for any of these guys, namely Matt Duchene or Gabriel Landeskog, I think that's a very likely scenario. I think that we're not going to see a lot of interest in Eric Johnson from other teams with his length of contract and the way he's been playing right now. Not that it's bad, but it's not blowing anybody away for that money right now. And Tyson Barrie, I don't think they're going to give up on him right away, and they probably shouldn't, but he's been better. So let's break this down by each member of the core and do a couple quick metrics for each one of them and then benchmark how they're doing. Matt Duchene, now wearing an A, by the way, which is awesome. Dutchie will have to produce offensively is what we said, and he has been. He's been as snake bit as anyone else, but found a way to still put the puck in more than anybody else on the team. I like the way he's playing, and he's getting the goals here and there, and he's on pace to have a pretty damn good season, so I'm not particularly disappointed with him, and I think this is going to help him keep his job, which is awesome. I think extra points in his case for leadership are being earned right now. He's doing that on the ice with the way that he's playing, even when things aren't going well, so kudos there as well. Gabriel Landeskog had a really good start. One of our metrics for him was that he needs to lead with the tone of his play and the way that he's playing. And he's done both of those things. His tone is physical and he's going towards the net, trying to put it in the net. And a couple of games, he was the reason we won. This is good stuff. Can't expect it every single game, but I'd like to see it happen just a little bit more. He's kind of let us down here in the last five or six games, in my opinion. Landy also needs to mature a little bit as a leader. He has done that, and I think that he still has some room to grow in that area, but you can't be the guy who gets deflated and you can't let the other players feed off of you in that way. When it sucks, you say it sucks, and then you do the 24-hour rule, again, another podcast, and you move on. That's what we need from him every single game. If I had to give him a grade right now, it'd be the C that he's wearing on a sweater. Nathan MacKinnon, also wearing an A, by the way, at least every now and then. I love Mac, I really do, but he needs to score more. He has a lot of chances, he skates fast, things happen, but you just have to put that puck in the net. And maybe what that means is being a little bit less predictable with his play. He's a little bit erratic actually. His own speed I think surprises him at time, and he can get to a place, but then he has to do something that isn't really planned or isn't really a part of a system. He's just kind of winging it at the end. And I think that as he plays more, he's gonna have a few more things that he can go to as he speeds past a guy or makes the zone before everyone else. And one of those things is poise. I really think that he needs to have a better poise game. I think that he is fast and he is skilled, but poise is knowing when to use it and when not to use it, and I think we still need to see some of that from him. Last little note on McKinnon and metrics is I said before that I really think he needs to take some strides towards the potential that we all think that he has, and it's a long season and we're looking at it under a microscope right now. I think he's making those strides. I think that he's snake bit like everybody else, but I also think that he's going to be streaky and the rest of the core is going to have to learn how to adjust around him. If one guy's not scoring, the other guy has to until the other guy can take over again. That's what it's all about. So Tyson Barrie. You know, it's a mixed bag on Tyson Barrie right now. A lot of people think that he is just awesome, but when you look at the numbers, he's not. And if you watch the game closely, you can see a lot of mistakes that you wouldn't want to see from a guy getting paid as much as he does. I know he's young, but he's going to have to pick this up quick to meet some of the metrics that we had for him. So the first metric is one that we want to adjust a little bit. We had said we want Tyson Barrie to become a better defenseman that can be counted on in clutch shutdown times. That's unrealistic. Tyson Barrie is an offensive defenseman, and we should have other defensemen on the team who can be counted on in clutch shutdown times. So what I'd like to adjust that to is I want him to be a better defenseman that can be counted on in clutch times. Not just shutdown times, but maybe the score is 3-3 and we need a goal. He's not a liability out there, or at least with a partner he's not, but he is a really good option and a really good chance to get the goal that we need to go ahead. So we officially adjust that metric, and to that end, no, fail so far. He hasn't done it. He hasn't shown up like just about everybody else on the team. It's not personal, it's just true. He needs to continue to score. Again, a fail on that one. He's not really putting the puck in as much as we'd all hoped. Maybe that's going to change because the whole team's not putting the puck in as much as we'd all hoped. We'll leave it at that. Another metric that I'm starting to second guess is the idea of Barrie being a better leader on the ice. What I meant by that is I think that he should be a guy that when the game is close, everybody's like, oh my God, put Barrie on the ice. We need a chance. He's the guy who can get it done. But he's not that guy lately, and often he's putting himself in bad situations defensively, which is screwing the team. And when he's scoring goals, it's easier to forgive those little breakdowns like that, but he's not scoring goals right now. And that's the kind of leadership that we would need from him, is when it's time to be clutch, he goes out there and he does it like it ain't no thing. Again, on that one, a fail right now. One last thought on Barrie, and one that we have exchanged words with many of you about, is this idea that we all thought that he would be built for the system that Bednar's bringing to him. But if I'm being honest, and from my opinion, I don't see it. He looks lost out there for me. Maybe it's going to click. Maybe it's still yet to happen. But for me, when I see him out there, especially in the defensive zone, I don't really see it. I don't see him looking comfortable. I don't see him making good decisions. And when he goes to block a shot, I see him not really even doing that very good. There's a lot of things that I would expect to be better under the system that Bednar has put together. But so far, I really haven't seen any of him. He hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't excelled the way I thought that he would in that system. Eric Johnson, the Condor. We had stated that we thought that EJ needed to find his beast mode and use that big size to play a tough physical game. Now, he's been using beast mode, but not so much for the physical game. What he's been doing is getting a hold of that puck, going end to end, which was another thing we thought he should do more of, and skating the puck around the zone a few times before getting a shot, giving it up, or maybe finding a pass for somebody. It's not quite what we had in mind for the end of that whole beast mode thing, but I like the idea that EJ is taking it on his shoulders and playing a little bit of hero hockey, which I know we said we don't like, but every now and then EJ should do that because he's very capable of producing good chances when he does something like that. Of course, he needs a defensive partner who can cover him, and right now his defensive partner, Big Z, hasn't been great, so it's hard to really knock him on feeling comfortable about doing this sort of thing, but still, we need somebody to step up, we need somebody to do it, and I think he's capable. Last up is Varley. Now, I know it would be easy to get down on Varley, but I'm just not. He doesn't have a good team in front of him. I said it in a previous podcast before too, that there is no goalie controversy because nobody's playing good enough to win. Our goalies should have a couple of goals to work with, and rarely do they ever. And usually they're down a couple goals before we start scoring. We need to score 3 or 4 goals a night. That's all there is to it. I know we can't do it every night, but if we do it more nights than not, we're going to have a better record and our goalies are going to look better. People like Barty are going to be able to play better hockey too. Right now they can't make a mistake or it's all over, and I think that's getting into Barty's head. And that gets into a few of his metrics. One of those is to be consistent. It's really hard to be consistent when you have no goals to work with. You can't have a shutout every single game. He needs to steal games for us. That's a bit of a fail because that's exactly what we just talked about, but the flip side, that's what makes him Barty, is the idea that he can steal those games. Lately, he hasn't. Lastly, he needs to be clutch, and that again is really hard to do when you're worried about making one mistake that's going to cost you the game because your team can't score in front of you. I really worry about this sort of thing when, if we make the playoffs, and I think that it needs to get better. So for Barty, like everybody else, not passing, but also not bashing. I could go on to talk about our depth, our prospects, the AHL, management, and all those sort of things, but the fact of the matter is our foundation isn't solid and they're doing their jobs as well as they can with what they have, but it's shaky times right now. Until we can be consistent, get our core working, and put points on the board, it's just not even worth talking about right now. I wonder if that's why the podcasts are so short. Maybe we're supposed to talk about things more. Inside Thoughts, brought to you by Cam. Anyways, we really appreciate you listening to this podcast, and we hope that you love them. And if you do, tell your friends about them and then go subscribe. Just go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey, or go to coloradohockey.com and click on the button that says get it on iTunes. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. You should just go check it out because there's a ton of cool shirts there. You're likely to like at least one of them, if not all of them, and they're at a really good price and they're top quality. Check it out, absfam.com. And lastly, don't be douchey to each other. Do be cool and stay awesome. We love you.
It's game night at the GAN and the crowd is getting fizzy. Motions on the air, doing work and getting busy. The boys are in the hall, getting loose with soccer balls. The crowd shuffles in and the game's about to begin. Go, Avs, go. Touching Beauchemin.